Hi everyone, welcome to English for You. I'm Pat.
And I'm Mike.
So Mike, are you much of a fan of like comic books or graphic novels, things where there's lots of pictures?
Yeah, well as a kid I grew up reading some great British comic books like the Beano
and the Dandy.
And things like that, Dan Dare or Eagle as well.
Yeah.
But of course, yeah, I grew up also with Batman. He was one of my big heroes. As a kid. And graphic novels, we should explain, are sort of like comic books for adults.
Yeah,
kind of. There's pictures.
Real stories and kind of bad things do happen. It's not just jokes and fun.
A little darker or something like that. So one of my favorite graphic novels they made into a movie, very famous, The Watchmen.
Ah, yes, that's a pretty good one.
Great graphic novel, but I'd say if you're under 16 or 17, I'm not sure you
really
enjoy it as much. But yeah, so I've always liked comic books, and I admire the art as well. I can't draw. Mm. So. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Comic books and graphic novels are all pretty fun, and we're going to look at a book with no words but interesting pictures in today's article. Let's find out about it.
Reading.
The Doors, Exploring the Lives of Others. The Doors is a unique book. The cover looks like a pair of doors, one red, one green. The thick cardboard pages open in the middle, revealing two sides of the same story. Although it's possible to read them one at a time, the story makes more sense when both sides are opened together. The story has no text, only pictures, and lets readers find their own meanings in the illustrations. Behind each door is a picture of a house and the man who lives there. One, Nick, lives in the modern age, while the other, Charlie, is a Victorian gentleman. We get a glimpse of each man's daily life. When the men return home from a walk, and enter their homes, however, they somehow switch places. Both men are scared to be in a different time. With the help of Charlie's niece, Mary, and Nick's dog, they start to relax and explore their new worlds. They seem to enjoy their experiences and prefer their new lives to their original ones. The book concludes, leaving the reader to guess what happens next.
So the article begins by saying, The Doors, which is the name of this book, The Doors is a unique book. Now this word unique is spelled U-N-I-Q-U-E, unique, and it means different from anything else, or the only one of its kind. So something unique, you're not going to find many or any other examples of that kind of thing. And this book really is different, as you'll see once you kind of see the picture or open it up. There's an example sentence for unique. The singer has a unique voice, so I can always recognize his songs.
Oh.
You go, okay, oh, I know that. Mm. Nobody else sings like that. That must be that guy.
Oh, okay, like maybe James Blunt or Ed Sheeran.
I was thinking
like
Howling Wolf, the blues
Howling
singer.
Wolf.
No one sings like that guy.
Had a very unique voice, too. That's right. Let's get back to the article. It says, the cover looks like a pair of doors, one red, one green. All right,
okay.
So there are two doors on the cover of the book.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
You have a red door and a green door, and of course, they'll probably be side by side.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, the thick cardboard pages open in the middle, thusly, revealing two sides of the same story.
Yeah, now normally with a book, you turn one page over from the right, or in Taiwan and China, open from the left.
That's true, that's
true. So this is a book that opens in the middle.
Interesting.
Which is why it's unique, why it's completely different.
Wow, very, very cool. And it says it's made of cardboard. What is cardboard? It's basically a very thick kind of paper. When you're making posters in an art class or to put up around school, for example, you might use cardboard. It's thicker than normal writing paper, but it's not quite as thick as what a box might be made of. Right?
No, not that thick.
A little bit thicker, but it's good good, stiff, strong paper.
Okay. Now, although it is possible, the article says, to read then these two sides of the story one at a time, mm-hmm. so you could open one side and read that side, and then open the other and read all the way through, the story makes more sense when both sides are opened together.
Hmm.
So you turn both pages at the same time.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Now we use the phrase there, one at a time. We kind of sort of showed you what it meant, but to explain it further, we've made it today's shortcut for you. So let's watch the video and find out what it means.
Shortcut for you.
Angela, you have to try this snack. It's amazing.
What's so special about it?
I don't know. There's just something about it.
Are you okay? You really should eat it one at a time.
Well, when is the best time to eat it?
Actually, one at a time means individually, or one after another.
Oh, one at a time means 一次一个. What happened to just eating one at a time?
There's no time for that. It's almost gone.
Hey, save some for me.
Ooh. Hi, guys. Welcome back. So let's repeat that last sentence. Although it's possible to read them one at a time, the story makes more sense when both sides are open together.
Hmm.
So one at a time is when each one of a group of things follows after the other in order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for example, in golf, players take their shots one at a time.
That's right.
Yeah, they don't both hit the ball together. They mm-hmm. go, one guy plays, then the next guy plays, and then the first guy plays. Or if there's three or four in a friendly game, they all go one at a time. We can also say one after the other.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. For example, we also have this phrase, makes sense. Yeah, something makes sense. It's something you can understand quite easily. If someone is speaking in the same language as you, the same language that you speak, well, most of the things they say will probably make sense. If that person is speaking Russian or a language you don't understand, you'll say, I don't understand. It's not making sense. It's not something that's easy to understand. Let's get back to the article. It says the story in this book, The mm-hmm. Doors, has no text, only pictures, and lets readers find their own meanings in the illustrations. Wow, it's different in this way, too.
Yeah.
Because it's a book with no text. When we talk about text, this noun, it's spelled T-E-X-T, text. Basically, this word means writing, all right? If you're writing things on a piece of paper, that's text. If you're reading a book, that's text. The writing in a newspaper, magazine, or even on a website, if it's an article with sentences, paragraphs, words, letters, you are reading text. So it's kind of a picture book.
Yeah, basically, only pictures.
A book without any text would be a picture book. But mm-hmm. with text, you'll be reading at least something. For example, we could say this science textbook has many pictures and diagrams to help students understand the text. So the pictures and the words, the text, work together to make it make sense.
That's right. Now, we've used the word drawing. Mm-hmm. It's a picture book, drawing
pictures.
Drawings, yep. We can also use the word illustration.
Mm.
That's a noun. It's spelled I-L-L-U-S-T-R-A-T-I-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
Illustration. And illustration, as we kind of said, it means drawings and pictures. Almost always those that are found in books.
Yes.
Okay. So we've sometimes, in a children's book, you might have lots of illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
In more of a grown-up novel, you might not have any at all.
Right.
Some might have an illustration at the front, or maybe mm-hmm. one or two.
Mm-hmm.
One place you often find them is on the cover of the book, the cover art. That is an illustration. So we could say the writer found a talented young artist to do the illustrations for her new book.
Ah.
And just go, okay, great, we're going to write that. And we call the person who does that an illustrator.
Mm-hmm. That's right. An illustrator is someone who draws pictures, basically. They're not taking photographs. They're using pens, paints, something mm-hmm. like that to draw or paint pictures. generally for a book. That's the kind of thing you would find in a book or in a comic book. In fact, when we talk about comic books, often the illustrator just draws the black outline of all the pictures, and then someone else will fill in the colors, and then someone else will write in all the little letters.
The text.
That kind of cool comic book style. But the illustrator is often one of the more important or more well-known comic book creators.
That's right.
Because they're the ones who come up with the look and the style and the movement of all the characters, translating that into a picture or an illustration. Illustrators illustrate.
Yep. So let's look at what the illustrations in this book are. It says, behind each door, so the doors are on the front, remember, behind each door is a picture of a house and the man who lives there.
Ah.
Okay, so you open it and you see there's the house, what's inside, there's the man who lives there.
Okay.
The article explains a bit more. It says, one, Nick lives in the modern age.
The time we live in
now. Right now.
Okay.
While the other, Charlie, is a Victorian gentleman.
Oh.
So we'll explain that in just a moment. First, we're going to look at the word age, A-G-E. Now, here we don't mean how old we are.
Mm-hmm.
Here, age is being used to talk about a particular period of history. So we've said the modern age, so now. We could also say the Stone Age, when people use stone tools.
Yes.
The Middle Ages,
yes,
which was kind of the 5th to the 15th century. Or the Victorian Age. So Victorian.
Victorian is a period of British history.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we generally consider it, when Queen Victoria was the Queen of England. And until just a few years ago, she was the longest reigning or longest ruling British king or queen. So she lived and she was the queen for quite a long period of time. And this was also the period of time when Britain was probably at its most powerful around the world. They controlled many parts of the world. India, Australia, Canada were all parts of the British Empire at that time. And it was also a time of great progress, new science, new technology, growing cities and factories. And Britain really was sort of like maybe America today, the most powerful country in the world. So that's why we give her name, Queen Victoria, to this time period, the Victorian Age. If you think of the old Sherlock Holmes books, not the modern ones where he's got a cell phone, but the old ones where he smokes a pipe and rides around in carriages, that was the Victorian Age. Or think of the age of the cowboys and Indians in America. That was also happened around the Victorian Age. It's basically from 1837, when she became queen, when she was still very young, until 1901, when she died. So you can see that's a period of more than 60 years. It's a long time, and that's why that time period is the Victorian Age.
The article continues, we get a glimpse of each man's daily life. Glimpse is spelled G-L-I-M-P-S-E, glimpse. And a glimpse is a brief look at something, often one that only shows us part of the picture rather than the whole thing. For example, I caught a quick glimpse of the teacher's answer sheet before he closed his book. Now, when we use the noun glimpse, we can use several verbs to go before it. We say get a glimpse of something, have a glimpse of something, or catch a glimpse of something. So you can use any of those verbs, and you can also say someone. I caught a glimpse of someone as he moved past quickly, so you only see him for a short time.
Okay, and the article continues and says, when the men return home from a walk and enter their homes, however, they somehow switch places. Wow, so not only do they switch or change homes, but they also might even be changing places in time.
Oh, yes.
How cool is that? To switch here, it's a verb, of course, and it's spelled S-W-I-T-C-H. When it's used as a verb, it talks about changing one thing for another thing. So if you come home and you take off your black shoes and put on your white basketball shoes, you're switching your shoes. You're changing one thing for another thing very, very directly. We can use it as a noun. Here, of course, it is being used as a verb. For example, can we switch chores? I'll wash the dishes if you take out the trash.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'll go with that.
So if we're switching, that gives you the idea that originally Pat was supposed to wash the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to take out the trash, but we've switched. We've traded. A for B.
Yep. Now, both men are scared to be in a different time. Like, they walk through the door like, oh, what? Why am I in a Victorian house? Why am I in a modern house? That kind of thing.
That is very strange.
And they kind of start to run away. But as the article says, with the help of Charlie's niece, Mary, and Nick's dog, okay, they start to relax and explore their new world. So they try to run away, but the door, this niece, this girl, or the dog, they kind of grab them and say, like, no, stay. And then they start to go, okay, what's here? What's in this new world that I'm in?
Very, very interesting.
Okay, back in the article, it says they seem to enjoy their experiences. Wow. And prefer their new lives to their original ones. How unusual. I guess at first it would be kind of cool to travel in time. The modern guy gets to go back to Victorian London, and the Victorian guy, of course, would be amazed at all the new technology and science of the modern time that we live in. And it seems that they really like this time travel vacation, I guess you could call it, because we know that because it says they prefer something to the other thing. They prefer their new lives to their original ones or to their old lives. When you prefer A to B, when you prefer something to another thing, that means you like the first thing more than the other thing. All right. So if someone asks you, which do you like more, tea or coffee? You might say, oh, I prefer tea to coffee. That gives the person the idea, and it gives them the information that you like tea more than coffee. You like the first one more than the second one. It's a very easy and convenient way of telling people your choices, your preference, or the things that are your favorites. For example, we could say, I have two places to go for my holiday, but I prefer Hawaii to Australia, so I think I'll see you in Hawaii. All right, let's get back to the article.
Okay, so if you look at the pictures in this book, you can see that they're checking out the new technology or the old technology. They're looking at the sky. They're walking in their local neighborhoods. They're experiencing the food of this different time. And they decide they kind of like it. Now, what happens next is interesting because, as the article says, the book concludes leaving the reader to guess what happens next.
Wow.
So they don't go back to their own times. They never meet. So when the book ends, we kind of go, okay, so what happens to these guys? We just don't know. So the reader can kind of make up their own story about where it goes. Now, in that sentence, we use the verb conclude. C-O-N-C-L-U-D-E. Conclude. To conclude means to end or to finish something, okay? So we could talk about when something concludes, that means it's over, it's finished. So when a book concludes, you've reached the last page. We could also say the speaker concluded his talk by thanking everyone for coming to listen to him. Okay, so that's kind of where it leaves it.
Interesting.
You know, these two guys have changed places. They're happy.
Yeah.
Because actually, if you go back and look in the book, they didn't seem too happy at the start.
I'm sure their they're
facial
very
expressions,
confused and surprised.
Well, not just that. Even in their original lives, when they wake up in the morning, they're kind of like, it's another day.
Sure.
Nothing interesting. They're not smiling. They're just going through their normal activities. But by the end, they're actually smiling. They're looking around at the world. They're kind of enjoying themselves.
Cool.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk in day two a little bit more about what does that mean? What is the meaning of this book and the idea behind it? That's for day two. Right now, we're going to go to today's For You chat question.
For You Chat.
So today's question is, do you think you would enjoy living in the past? And give reasons for your answer.
Very interesting.
Maybe even pick a time in the past you'd like to live in.
Oh my gosh, I could pick many times in the past. One of the times I've been most interested in would be ancient Rome.
I would love
to visit the city of ancient Rome when it was filled with temples and palaces, maybe go see some gladiator fights or a chariot race or two, but also just walk the mean streets of the Suburra, maybe go go up to the Palatine Hill where the rich people lived and really get a feel for that beautiful, ancient, eternal city of Rome. What about you? If you could travel in time to any time in the past, where would you go?
I would love to visit the Caribbean islands in the golden age of piracy.
I thought so pirates might
come talking
into this.
The late 1700s, early 1800s, and just the time when all the famous pirates were operating. Just to kind of see. The thing is, I bet I wouldn't like living in those conditions because it was probably pretty hard. I think I'm pretty used to some of the modern conveniences and the ways of living and the food and the good medicine and all that sort of stuff.
If you could have a 7-Eleven on your pirate ship with like cold water and
on some of the islands,
medicine or something like that, it might be great.
Make it a little bit easier for me.
Dying of yellow fever in the golden age of piracy probably wouldn't be very good.
So maybe I would enjoy a vacation.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I will take vacations, but I don't want to live there.
I'm also thinking when I was talking about ancient Rome, it probably would look beautiful, but I just thought it would probably smell pretty bad.
Not too great,
yes. Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, well, that's the end of today's article. Join us again tomorrow for day two of our article about the doors to find out the story behind the book. See you then. Bye for now.
The Doors, Exploring the Lives of Others. The Doors is a unique book. The cover looks like a pair of doors, one red, one green. The thick cardboard pages open in the middle, revealing two sides of the same story. Although it's possible to read them one at a time, the story makes more sense when both sides are opened together. The story has no text, only pictures, and lets readers find their own meanings in the illustrations. Behind each door is a picture of a house and the man who lives there. One, Nick, lives in the modern age, while the other, Charlie, is a Victorian gentleman. We get a glimpse of each man's daily life. When the men return home from a walk and enter their homes, however, they somehow switch places. Both men are scared to be in a different time. With the help of Charlie's niece, Mary, and Nick's dog, they start to relax and explore their new worlds. They seem to enjoy their experiences and prefer their new lives to their original ones. The book concludes, leaving the reader to guess what happens next.
Vocabulary Review.
Unique. This building is unique. There's nothing like it in the world. Text. Children's books often contain large pictures, but only small amounts of text. Illustration. There is a large illustration of a flower on page 36 of this book. Glimpse. I caught a glimpse of my friend as he walked through the crowded department store. Switch. The teacher asked the students to switch seats so they had new partners for the next activity. Conclude. After the movie had concluded, the audience stood up and left the theater.